sharing this morning. The week, it's like I had a part two. It's actually probably like part 37 or something. That's like last week. It's like the sermon that never ends, right? Just think about being in Him, complete in Him. And but you know, Dee had come over for dinner with us on Tuesday, and we were talking about Sherry's testimony, right? Sort of. Like, wow, shocking. God, we pray, God heal. They go in to do heart work, and God heals it. And then a friend of yours, I won't say names, but had a heart issue, and it's like you're able to say, well, let me tell you about what happened to, we prayed for this gal at church Sunday morning a couple weeks back, and here's what happened when they go in there and do the Roto-Rootering, and there is nothing there. And there was another person you had shared with, I think, another guy at the office. And then you had shared with somebody. I thought, this is so cool how God just kind of shows up. And that somebody's presented with it. There's a crisis, and you're able to like intersect their crisis. Like, let me tell you what God did. So I get this text from a family member, and it's a heart issue. And there was two things. There's one was a heart issue, but it wasn't a hopeful text. It was one of those texts that's like,
get ready.
It's like, yes, mm-hmm. It was an ER text. And is that funny? Everybody gets it, right? And so I'm watching other family respond to the text, agreeing with ER. And we did not. We're like, I'm not even going to get in the text. Not even gonna. So a couple days later, we called this person. We're like, nice. And we had a wonderful conversation. In fact, they had just come back from the doctor, and the alarming, it's over, right? Start digging the grave, was the doctor saying, nicey, nothing going on here. And and there were two. There were two medicals, and the other one was the same thing. And I thought, is it? We were talking after we hung up. And it's like, I'm not saying, oh, look, God healed. No, they had just, any sense of crisis, they went to the dark side. Any sense of doubt. I mean, and these are believers. Mm-hmm. And I was just in my, what is it inside of us that partners with fear? What is this thing? And we call it normal. And we actually put like spiritual Christian spins on it when we share it about this, oh, this, it's like this pain. And then goodbye, everybody. I probably won't be here next Sunday. And what is this thing about? So I had this thought, where does your fear take you? Where does your fear take you? Especially when you get these, when you encounter, how would I say it? Where you feel like your resources are overwhelmed. How about that? If I was to tell you I've got nothing in my pantry, there would be no fear here because I've got plenty in the checking account to go to the bank and take care of my pantry. Right? So having an empty pantry doesn't scare me. Probably not saying that right, but it's like just because there's like a problem, it's like, oh, I've got the resources to deal with my problem.
Right.
Yeah, but sometimes you get these moments where you go, I don't have the resources for this one. And when I say resources, it's like, it's more than just money.
Right.
It's like, how am I going to deal with the weight of, yeah. Like you just got a doctor report, and maybe it's cancer or something big. And it's like, what do I have in my what do I have in my bank account? My bank account here, right. And your money, all of it. What do I have to respond to this, right? And so we have these like outside crises and inside things inside of us. That I've got to sit here and go, what can I bring to my struggle against illness or my struggle against poverty, my struggle against marriage stuff or job stuff or Right? What do? Can I believe beyond my ability to understand how this is going to get solved? Oh, it's like we prayed for the cars. It's like, God, I need a creative solution. Can I believe for something that's, guys, I've thought about it. There ain't no answer. There's no cars out there. And the bank's empty. Bank account's empty, right? Can I believe for a creative solution? So, go ahead.
It just reminds me of, I think it's Steve Backlund that will say, or maybe his wife, Wendy, it's not that you ignore the situation. Like, I could be brokenhearted, devastated. I could be a cancer. I mean, it could be something really big, but it's the conclusions that you draw in the middle of it. Is that the final answer? I'm devastated and brokenhearted, and so now I'm depressed and morose.
Yeah.
I might be having all of those feelings, but am I concluding, okay, God, what, and just inviting him into that situation and walking with him in the middle of it.
That's probably the guy that I was thinking most about, you know, is Steve and Wendy when I was thinking about this thought the last couple of days. It's like, can I believe beyond my ability to understand how this one's going to work? And there's I want to introduce you to a character we read about in the Old Testament. His name is Jehoshaphat. He was the fourth king of Judah. Right, so he's where Israel and Judah are separated at this time, and he's the fourth king of Judah. It's 850, 875 BC kind of thing. Here's what we know about him. He is a zealous follower of God. He's a lover of God, right? And in fact, if you read about him, he's fun because it's like in his third year of his reign, he actually sent out people through all the cities of Judah, all their territories. He sent out priests. Mm-hmm. He sent out the princes, right, of the royal court people. He sent out the Levites, teachers, and he goes to all the cities and regions of Judah. And it's like to teach them the book of the law. It's like, I thought, come on, that's pretty cool. And it says that he sought the Lord in everything he did. And in that, it's also, we read about his increase, this favor he had, right? So we read about his riches. We read about the honor that's just, we see this increasing pattern in this guy's life, right? In fact, in one part of 2 Chronicles in chapter 22, it says, he sought the Lord with all his heart. Maybe spend some time this week thinking about what is that? What does it mean to seek him with all your heart, right? So I'm going to read to you this section here in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And so, because what's happening here is this, all the bad guys are getting together, right? And they're like, collectively, we're going to take down Jehoshaphat, right? So all the ones, so you've heard of Moab, the Moabites, right? Ammon, the Ammonites, right? The Munites, right? They all decide we're all going to get together. We're going to come against this guy, okay? So that's the beginning here, 2 Chronicles. I'm going to read several verses just to get you the story. Chapter 20. It happened after that the people of Moab and the people of Ammon and others with them, besides the Ammonites, came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria. And they are in Hazeron Tamar, which is En Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared. By the way, fear is normal.
Right.
Okay? Fear's normal.
Right.
We'll talk about that. Jehoshaphat feared. It says, and he set himself to seek the Lord. He proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together
to ask help from the Lord. Wow. And from all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you? Are you not our God, who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel, and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever?
Come on.
And they dwell in it, and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. And now, here are the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt. But they turned from them and did not destroy them. Here they are, rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. Oh, our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do.
Wow.
But our eyes are upon you. Mm-hmm. Now all Judah, with their little ones, their wives, and their children, they stood before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of our assembly. And he said, listen, all you of Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord is with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Then the Levites and the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise God, the Lord God of Israel, with voices loud and high. So they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who would sing to the Lord, and who should praise the beauty of holiness. And as they went out before the army, and they were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Now when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. So when Judah came to a place overlooking the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and there were their dead bodies, fallen on the earth. No one had escaped. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away their spoil, they found among them an abundance of valuables on the dead bodies and precious jewelry, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days gathering the spoil because there was so much. And on the fourth day, they assembled in the valley of Baraka, for there they blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of the place was called the Valley of Baraka, which is the blessed, until this day. Then they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem, with Jehoshaphat in front of them, to go back to Jerusalem with joy. For the Lord had made them rejoice over the enemies. So they came to Jerusalem with stringed instruments and harps and trumpets to the house of the Lord. And the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. Then the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest all around. That's a movie wow. right there. Verse 3 of that chapter says, Jehoshaphat feared. And he says, and he set himself to seek the Lord. Right? He feared. His response to his fear was, I better go hang out with God. I don't know what to do. I better go hang out with God. Right? Remember I tell you the questions, who is he? Who am I? What is this like? What's my picture in this story, right? How I perceive God is monumental here. If I perceive him, Father, Lover, Provider, right? Then I'm going to interact with him as my protector.
Right.
The one who's gonna provide for me. He loves me so much. He's not leaving me in the middle of this, right? How I perceive him is huge to how I respond to what I'm afraid of right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
He said in verse 6, he says, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? Do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might so that no one is able to withstand you? What, just in that right there, he tells us first off, he's the God of our fathers. Right? He's the God of history. He's the God of me, my dad, my dad's dad, my dad's dad's dad. My dad's dead, right? He's the father of my son, and my son's sons, and my son's son's sons, right?
Right.
He's the God of history, before and after, right? There's a declaration he's Jehoshaphat's making. He's the God of history.
Wow.
He tells us here, aren't you God in heaven? Right? What did we were reading the verse last week in Ephesians. Where do we sit?
Mm-hmm.
We sit at the right hand of God. We sit at his in heavenly places. We have our perspective is the king's perspective. Our perspective is heaven's perspective. Mm-hmm. Above all
principalities. Powers.
Come on, Dar. Right? Above all the crap.
All the big stuff.
Yeah.
Right? The dwelling place, God's up there. My partner in my crisis is a God who sits up there above all of this, right? Above all things. His only perspective is the kingdom's perspective. He can have no other perspective but a perspective that's above all of that.
Right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
He tells me, you're the ruler of all the nations. So now I'm realizing, hey, all those other kings, you're over them. All those guys that are against me, you're over them. All that troublemaker there, you're over him. All the ones on my side, you're over us. Right? You're over all of them. Right? And then he says, you're powerful. You're powerful.
Mm.
He can do as he wishes.
Mm-hmm.
Creation's in his hand. Restoration's in his hand. The restructuring of DNA in his hand.
Mm.
The recreation of broken cells and organisms
mm-hmm.
in his hand. Come on. That's why we can pray to sickness and blind eyes and cancer. Because the one who can sit here and create those is him.
Mm.
Because, so that's Jehoshaphat's starting position. That's who you are. Mm-hmm. That's my perception of you.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right? Okay, God, so now what do I do? I've got this fear. That's who you are. What do I do with my fear? Right? He tells us, verse 12, first thing. He sought God. Verse 12 says, "Oh God, wilt thou not judge them? For we're powerless before this great multitude. They're coming against us. I don't know what to do, but my eyes, they're on you." Right? What's the second thing? Right? What did he do? Like, well, I'm going to hang out in praise land. I'm going to praise you. I'm going to praise God. I'm going to just celebrate my perception of you, right? It says in verse 19, "And the Levites from the sons of the Kohites and of the sons of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a very loud voice." One of his progressions, he was singing prophetically, just like sing it loud and keep singing it louder or something like that. It's like, man, just keep raising your voice. Hey, quiet down. I'm just going to go louder.
Yeah.
So here they are, right? Oops, I just go back to my chapter 20, right? And verse 19, they're just like, "The Levites, go Levites. They rose early in the morning and went out." Verse 20, he tells us, okay, now I'm just going to trust you. I am going to put my trust in you. I'm done making my answers here. You. I'm done creating and manipulating. Just you. Verse 20 says, "Jehoshaphat stood and said, listen to me. Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, put your trust in the Lord." Here's, right? Because you've got people around you. It's like hope generators. Right? Leaders like Jehoshaphat, your first challenge is, it's like, I got this perception. Now, these are my people. Now I've got to help them get that perception. Right? I've got to help start flipping them. So, because they're afraid too. It says Jehoshaphat, but they're afraid too. Mm-hmm. So the first, man, I'm telling you, the first challenge you've got, especially if you're in a home, like your family,
yeah.
flip the fear in the family. Right? When you see them kind of like borrowing, partnering a fear. It's like, no, here's what God's going to do. Here's what we're going to do about this, right? Let's all pray. Tell you what we'll do. Come on, let's pray. Right? Don't
partner. I don't know what
to do. Oh my gosh, don't partner with fear. Don't give in to the, especially, it's so easy on Facebook. Sit here and kind of like go down these paths of nonsense and text messages with people. Break that stuff. Mm-hmm. Be the bold one in the room that breaks the chain. Right, breaks the cycle of like this, the Eeyore spirits. Right, so Jehoshaphat says, "Listen to me, everybody. Trust him. Trust what God's doing." Right, and he goes on to say, "And you will be upheld. Just trust him. Just watch what he does. Trust him." Okay, and then verse 21, he says, "Let's just spend some time thanking him." By the way, the battle hasn't happened yet. We're going to praise him. Now let's just thank him for what he's... This is who he is. We're going to trust him. Let's just thank him. Right? There's not enough time. There's not enough words. To sit here and just like, wow, we're never going to exhaust how much you love us as you just spend time just thanking him for what he's done for you. That's why heaven, it's just going to be this eternity of like worshiping, because just we'll never get our heads around how much he's done for us. So we give thanks to him.
So that's so significant. Just say it again. The battle hadn't started.
The battle hadn't started. He's just, all they're doing
the
is
the trouble
just,
is still looming.
Yeah. Nothing's, the doctor report's still out there. Maybe I don't even see that. I didn't even get to go in to see the doctor till December. Right? Man, God's going to win right now.
As for me and my house, we're just going to hang out and believe it. Here's what God's doing about my crisis. Here's what God's doing about my car. There's this thing, this confidence they have in their inheritance, right? I forget where it was earlier in this, in chapter 20 here, but it's like, remember when it says, and he gave this to Abraham and his family forever, right? Jehoshaphat's recalling that promise. Wow. Hey, this is, I know what my inheritance is here, right? He leans into it. If I was to say, do you know what your inheritance is? I bet we could come up with a pretty cool list, right? Mm-hmm. You don't need to cite chapter and verse, but if I said, come to me, all who are heavy laden, finish it, somebody. I will
give you rest.
There you go. There's one. That's part of your inheritance. I don't even remember where that verse is. It's in one of the Gospels, right? If I said, I'm with you always, even somebody
to the end,
end of the age. There you go. Part of your inheritance. He tells us his words will never, somebody?
Fail.
Words from, come on. That's our inheritance. He said, whatever you ask in my name,
I will do.
I'll do it. I'm going to give it to you. Whatever you ask in my name, I'm going to give it to you. When John, it talks a lot about this intimacy, connection, right? In the Gospel of John, he says, you come hang out with me. I'm going to share my heart with you. That's your inheritance. He says, draw near to me. I'll draw near to you. Right, Paul? It's like when Jesus is talking to the disciples, it's like, here, when I approach the Father, watch what happens. You can do that too. Right? So that's your inheritance. He said he would reveal the Father to us. That's your inheritance. He told us when the Holy Spirit comes,
you will do great things.
Come on. And it just gets into power. And I mean, like, we could have dozens and dozens of responses to, man, Holy Spirit shows up, guess what I'm going to do through you? Right? Blind eyes, deaf ears, dead. Right? That's your inheritance. Right? I just want to go back, just thinking about that text from family that just said, right? It's like, how can we believe beyond our ability to understand how your problem can be solved? How are we going to respond to fear? How are we going to respond to this crisis moment? And sometimes it's just simple. We were just talking to, it wasn't even significant. Adam and I were sitting out there just drinking coffee, waiting this morning, and we're talking about cost of living adjustments and fixes and things, and said, I hope something happens because my food budget is just getting cremated right now.
Cremated.
My gas budget. So there are homes. It's like, that's huge. It's like, I gotta make ends meet in my home. And what do I do? Those are crisis moments that steal energy from our households, right? So we, especially guys, we end up like having trouble sleeping at night because we're trying to figure out, what do I do here, right? Right? How do we respond to fear? In our process of seeking him, my friend, verse 17, he says, you will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. Fights God. My job, position myself. Maybe you can spend some time hanging out this week. What does that look like? What does positioning myself look like? stand still.
So you know, Danny, in that song you were talking about, Falling in Love.
Yeah.
So I like the chorus part. It talks about it. It says, I'm falling in love with you. I lay my life down. God, I'm yours now. To me, that means freedom. Like what you're talking about right now. Now, Dan Muller was talking about, I was listening to him this morning, and he was talking about his mom had been sick for like 40 years, something like that. Exactly what the issue was that she had. She always liked to watch Perry Mason, okay? Because she could understand the whole story
right. And
all this stuff. He just became, he just became a new believer. He just gave his life to the Lord. And he was telling some things about that. And he goes, you know, I came in one day and I asked my mom if I could turn them. He turned down that Perry Mason show because he wanted to pray for her.
Yeah.
Well, when his mom was younger, he remembers that she used to pray in tongues and, you know, a lot of things she used to do.
Yeah.
So, until whatever happened to her and she got sick. So then he started praying for her after he turned it down. And and she started getting some motion back in her hands again.
Yeah.
And he was really excited about it. But he was getting ready, he had to get ready and leave and go to the church or whatever he was getting ready to do. And his mom asked him, can you turn the show back up again? And he got really hurt over that because he was excited. He goes, aren't you excited? You just started getting feeling back in your hands again. And she goes, well, I don't think God's going to get mad at me because I want to turn Perry Mason back on. The point being was she said to him, I don't know if I'm ready to get healed. And he said, it's because people get sick for a long time and they give in on it. They give into the mindset of it. He's even went in and prayed for families who were getting ready to lose someone and they never let them go, you know, and he's ready to go, and he'll come in, and he'll go, can I pray for him? They go, well, we're ready to let him go. And then Dan goes, well, what happens if you pray for somebody, and they start jumping around and saying, you know what, I was ready to go. some things have happened where people have gotten healed, like their kidneys or their livers, things like that. But he was saying that sometimes we get disappointed, you know, because he used the word zealous because it doesn't happen, you know, we're so excited, you know, if they don't react the way we react, we get disappointed, you know.
Yeah.
But one thing that was funny was he said, as soon as I became a believer, he said, my hair started getting all peppered. And he goes, you know, people would ask me, he goes, are you stressing out, Danny? And he goes, I don't even know what the meaning of that is because he was so excited, you know.
Wow.
I like how...
Like you said, Danny, I mean...
It's a lot of, you know... I started off with this text stream I told you that was from some relatives that are believers.
Mm-hmm.
But somewhere in their history or somewhere in their path, there just wasn't an expectation of things to happen. So you just kind of accept things that... I would not accept. I don't think it's, we shouldn't be accepting. And right. It becomes normal. Now you're normal. You don't know what to do when somebody's, in fact, I made that statement to my dad about, you know, when I was talking about this week, I said, you know, there's normal and there's abnormal. I guess I'm abnormal.
Abby normal?
And I did, because I did my best. Yeah,
where did you get this brain?
But there are some people that totally believe that. Yeah, they believe that when it says, I have to leave in order for the Holy Spirit to come, you'll do greater things than me. There's some people that actually believe that was just meant for that time.
Yeah,
somebody got tried to get into an argument with me about it one time. And I said, just what did the words say? I'm not saying it, just what does it say? But
I just encourage you this week, and I'll just close here, because maybe I'll pick up some of this somewhere next week. Go back to this thing about in and out. We're just
just like Jehoshaphat, we're just realigning our perspectives, right? I just love that. I love how we responded to big fear, big, big crisis. It just, and it doesn't shy away from, he was afraid.
Right.
Yeah.
He is afraid. It's normal to be afraid. Mm-hmm. It's what you do with, now what do I do next when you're afraid?
So
what do you do next? So God, we realign my thinking, realign my passion. God, heal my heart. Heal me where, God, I've aligned with things that you didn't ask me to align to. So I just want to just be corrected around heaven. God, I just pray for just this divine tuning for it to come and just kind of like that who we are resonates with heaven. What you believe, guys, resonates with heaven.
Yeah.
Resonates with his promises. Resonates with your inheritance. So this week, it's a week of just remembering. Let's be seekers. Let's position ourselves. Let's rest in who he is. Let's trust him this week. Let's just walk with the confidence of dad's here. He's got this one. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.